This is a Suno India production and you are listening to the Suno India show.
Since mid-February, there has been a steep rise of COVID-19 cases in India. This has now firmed up to what is called the second wave of COVID-19 in the country. This wave started in Vidarbha region of Maharashtra.
If you look at the trajectory of cases, you will find that cases had grown in mid-September, then they had continuously declined till the first week of February, and they have now started climbing up from first week of February till date. It's a continuous climb. Yesterday, in the last 24 hours, the country reported more than 96,000 cases. Day before yesterday, the country had reported more than 1 lakh cases. The states of maximum concern to us still remain Maharashtra, Punjab and Chhattisgarh. Maharashtra, because of its share in the total number of cases as well as total number of deaths nationally.
This is Rajesh Bhushan, the health secretary of the country, in a press conference held on April 6th. The COVID-19 cases in Maharashtra constitute nearly half the cases recorded nationally. The other states where the cases are rising are Chhattisgarh, Karnataka, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Delhi, Tamil Nadu and Kerala. Maharashtra was leading the country's charts of COVID-19 cases in the country even in the last wave. Particularly, the cities of Pune and Mumbai were worst hit. Hi, I'm Menaka Rao, the host of this episode of the Suno India Show. I spoke to Dr. Subhash Salunke, the technical advisor to the Maharashtra government on COVID-19. He is a public health official and has worked as the director of health services of the state before he retired. He spoke about the challenges for the state government in the second wave.
What do you think is the main driver of this second wave that has started in Maharashtra?
I think this second wave was anticipated by some of us, and that is precisely the reason when in the month of December, Jan, the meetings were being conducted, we had warned that viral pandemics are notoriously known to occur in the waves. We have seen first wave, and there is a substantial decline, doesn't mean it will be sustained or it will not necessarily remain like that. And that is the reason I was one of the few people who was insisting that don't dismantle the hospitals which are temporary, which were temporarily created, the jumbo hospitals. And that fortunately government did accept this recommendation. It is misnomer to say that the Maharashtra was feeling that this epidemic or pandemic is over and things are back to the normal. This was a kind of a perception generated right from the Delhi level that, oh, we have control. Oh, now we are out of the woods. That kind of a mixed messages were coming from different level. And naturally, when people started feeling that, okay, that the problem seemed to be over and with this vaccine, will be able to give us tremendous amount of help. And then people were, in addition to that, for economic activities, government allowed, additional mobility. The local trains were started in Maharashtra, in Mumbai, and buses were started not only in Mumbai and Pune, everywhere, including Maharashtra and in every state practically. So naturally, public functions, political functions, marriage ceremonies, elections, whatnot and whatnot. Everywhere, we ensured that the COVID-appropriate behavior is put to the back burner and nobody is bothering about it. This is a practically national kind of an character that we have shown, not in Maharashtra alone. So let us not isolate and single out Maharashtra. It was seen in Delhi. It was seen in northern India, it was seen in Maharashtra and southern India. This was mainly picked up when I was in Amravati during the February. We realized that it is not only it is getting activated, second wave is getting activated, but there could be possibility of mutation, because what we were not seeing initially or in the first phase, that the entire families were getting affected, localities were getting affected. That was the comparatively newer picture, and that was something which we felt need to be quickly addressed. And we requested Government of India, and that is how those 10 institutions were asked to carry out the virological studies to understand whether there is any mutation, if so, at what level. And you know what we are seeing now, full-blown second wave in Maharashtra, and this is not going to get restricted to Maharashtra. It's going to go to other states also. We are now seeing in Madhya Pradesh, we are seeing in Rajasthan, we are seeing in Delhi, we are seeing in Chhattisgarh. So it is not that it is going to remain restricted to Maharashtra and it won't go to UP and Bihar and West Bengal. It is bound to happen.
Recently, a government body studying COVID-19 mutations sequenced a new double variant along with other known variants of concern in the country, such as the British and the South African variant. The new double variant bears two significant mutations in the coronavirus spike protein. The scientists named it E484Q+ L452R. This mutation is associated with higher infectivity and with the capacity to evade antibodies. This mutation has been found in samples collected from Nagpur city, said Dr. Sujit Kumar Singh, director of National Center for Disease Control, in a press conference held last month. He explains this further.
We have seen this double mutant E484Q and L452R. So this is the double mutant which has been observed in 206 samples in Maharashtra and then in a varied number in Delhi also, 9 samples and so on. So when we link with that, because we have to see that from where the samples have been picked. So this is very, very relevant. In Nagpur, yes, we have found a substantial number, around 20%. So that 20% just correlating with the type of surge, it is not possible.
I asked Dr. Salunke about the research on the mutations that is underway.
Sir, just to be clear, the government said that they have found mutations, but they are saying that they still cannot establish a link between the mutation and the kind of exponential spread. I mean, of course, the evidence is pending on this. I mean, it's still under process. But what do you see?
How long we are going to wait for that? Why don't Government of India come out very clearly and say that 15%, 20%, 50%, 80% of the viruses that we are seeing in Maharashtra are due to or mutated virus or no? Why don't we get clarity on this issue? There are some issues on which inordinate delay is causing problem. There is a confusion.
What kind of information does the Maharashtra State Force need to sort of proceed with this with, you know, more scientific precision?
As far as I am concerned, as a technical advisor, I'm saying, let's not bother about what percentage it is. Let us bother about the fact that present, the virus is propagating itself very fast. That means transmissibility is obviously and clearly indicating families are affected. So transmission is occurring very, very fast. And that is how you can see the steep curve. So that is one. And second important point is that irrespective of what kind of a mutated virus it is still amenable to the public health measures or COVID appropriate behavior. I think that is the most critical one. The breaking the chain, that is what Government of Maharashtra is trying its best, is the basis on which we have to address whatever that mutant virus it is, but it is amenable to the existing mechanisms or existing strategies. So let us vigorously follow and apply these strategies. That is what my recommendations are to the state government and also to Government of India.
The serosurveillance report showed that, 50% prevalence in parts of Pune and Bombay, and still the cities have pretty high number of cases. Even in the second wave, and they had a high number of cases even in the first wave. So why do you think these two cities particularly have been struck again?
No, I personally feel that Mumbai and Pune, even though they had a sero surveillance positivity, but it was not uniform. The sero surveys that have been carried out were patchy, and you cannot, by any standard, say that the entire city of Pune or Mumbai had a 50%, 60%. No, absolutely it was not. There were some areas where there was very high sero prevalence, and there was low sero prevalence also. The fact remains that when you get such a large number of cases, huge number of cases now, is indicative that the sizable section of the population in both the cities are vulnerable. And because they are vulnerable, we are getting these cases. Now, as far as the rest of the state, most of the districts in Maharashtra, I think Vidarbha was comparatively, in the first wave, comparatively less affected. But now it has got, again, the high level of the infection. And I personally feel that there is no district now, whether it is Gadchiroli or Chandrapur or Nandurbar, even Nandurbar has got affected. So no district in Maharashtra, we can say, is immune, and it is bound to get impacted lesser or more. But the most congested cities like Pune, Mumbai, Nasik, Nagpur, Thane are the ones which are now highly affected.
Is there a difference even in the parts of cities which are more affected now?
Yes, we are seeing, for example, in Mumbai, comparatively, the highly affected areas like Worli or in Pune, the Rewar Pet and these Pethas are showing still comparatively less number of cases than the areas where there are societies comparatively higher socioeconomic group of people are living. But that particular difference is slowly vanishing. And even those congested areas, the slums, who are bound to get impacted in next week or so.
So what does that mean for those who are trying to understand immunity then, right? I mean, either we assume that most of this population that is affected again is susceptible, or are we also seeing reinfections?
Yeah, there's a combination of the two. Please remember, there are chances of reinfection, definitely. But at the same time, when you see so-called herd immunity, definitely there is no herd immunity. That is what we are seeing now. If at all it was supposed to be there, it seemed to have remained transient. And the same people are getting now vulnerable. And unfortunately, even now, why don't we have institutions which are there in various parts of our state, or various parts of our country, are in position to clearly come out with the planned studies and give proper information for decision makers? And this is where I think we have fallen short. As a country, we should have now, at least for each state, we should have staggered sort of an immunity level and mapping done, and indicative that, well, these are the areas likely to be protected, and these are the areas vulnerable. So vaccination priority needs to be given to the most vulnerable area. So that kind of a studies we have not done at the state level, not done at the central level.
So, I mean, in general, if we have to sum up, what do you think is the major difference, like major differences between the first wave and the second wave?
Major difference is that last year we were groping in dark. This particular wave, we know what it is, how to manage the cases, what kind of an infrastructure is needed. That information is now available to us. We also have now a very important tool which was not there in the first wave, and that is the vaccination. And we must take full advantage of that additionality. And if we vaccinate, if we succeed in vaccinating substantial population within the country, within the state, within Mumbai, I'm sure in few days, we'll be able to control this epidemic.
So you're saying that even one dose will help?
Certainly. You take vaccine today and tomorrow you are protected. That doesn't happen. But this second wave is not going to be over in next 3 days or 4 days. It is going to remain for a period of month and 1.5 months. And who knows, maybe after a couple of, in the month of June, we may get third wave. So to protect against the extended second wave and the possible third wave, let us try and focus on both, one on the public health measures of testing, tracking, and treating the people who are already infected, and vaccinating as much population as possible.
What kind of strategy related to vaccination you think will help reduce the number of cases or control it in some way?
I think factually, because of gap between demand and supply, as far as vaccine production is concerned, is going to be there. We cannot expect that 130 crore population will get easily two doses. One, so demand supply gap is going to be there, and so the staggered approach is must. But at the same time, Government of India will have to consider those states, cities, those areas more vulnerable, and these vulnerability is reflected by two ways. One is you carry out systematic studies and say what kind of an antibody levels are there. That we have not done it, but now you can see the picture. What is the virus itself is showing you where it is affecting strongly. Now in city of Pune or in Mumbai, when you get 8, 9, 10 thousand cases a day, what studies you are needed? Let us focus on these areas where you are getting maximum cases in those micro containment zones or major wards. So that is where we should go absolutely like a bombarding by vaccination. Let us vaccinate everyone, even if 45 years as the cutoff limit. Let us complete that. My personal view is we should extend it to 18 plus, and particularly to begin with, those who are comorbid and those who are beyond 18, they must be given vaccination, not restricting to only 45.
One more thing I wanted to also ask you, and this is about health preparedness, and this time because of more cases in the rural areas, what are the challenges you feel? Though Maharashtra has a relatively better health system, but still in rural areas, it's never as good as in the urban areas. So what are the challenges you feel?
Actually, the challenges are non-availability of highly trained doctors and nurses. That is the only challenge. Physical infrastructure-wise, Maharashtra government has planned it and we are pushing through. But appropriate number of the trained doctors who are in position to, you know, operate the ventilators, judge the requirement of the cases. Ventilator as an instrument or equipment is one part, but to understand the nuances of the, you know, technology and you connect it to the clinical, you know, requirement of the patient, Maharashtra government is trying to assist the doctors both in public sector and private sector by way of designing the clinical guidelines and also using telemedicine or the technology which can be used by the specialists who are in Mumbai, Pune and guide the doctors in district and sub-district hospitals.
We did do like sero surveys, and we did last year we've done, the government of India says they've encouraged, you know, state and municipalities to do it, etc., etc. So what kind of information do planners like y'all need to handle this particular wave? What are the gradients of details that we've missed which would have been more helpful now?
I think the most critical part we have really missed, and we had an opportunity. We could have done that appropriately, the sero surveys and mapping the entire state, district by district, clearly pointing out the vulnerable areas. And these vulnerable areas could have been focused on both public, for public health measures and also for vaccination. I think that opportunity as a country, as a state, we have lost. And now the sero surveys at this juncture are irrelevant. There is no point in doing that. So at this stage, we need to really try and understand the effect of vaccination, to what extent the vaccination is protecting people. That is one study that can be very useful.
When you say sero surveillance were not done well enough, you say that at least we should have done more of those. I mean, more wider sero surveillance studies is what you mean, right?
Yes, definitely. We could have done it district by district. Our districts are huge, you know, having population more than couple of millions. So we could have done very well planned studies, and we would have been in much better position to plan the preventive strategies as well as for vaccination.
The government of India did like an overall, like all India level study, and
these type of studies being done at all India level are or academic. These studies have only academic value and have no much value as far as operational part is concerned. It's too wide. I mean, we are talking about a country which is continent size and population of 135 crore. Yeah, you know, this is not a public health approach.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Suno India Show. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast app of your choice.